It's Thursday, October 27, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 27, the Word of God says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." And then verse 28, this is what we're looking at today. It says, "And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." And right here in verse 28, we see there are opponents. There are opponents of these Philippians. This is a reminder that there are opponents of the gospel. In other words, there are people who will oppose us when we preach Christ and him crucified, because there are some who aren't going to like it. See, the gospel is offensive, and it's offensive because the gospel message calls you out for what you are, a sinner who can do nothing good enough to earn favor with God. So, no matter how big and nice our church buildings and programs are, no matter how many good things Christians might do in society, when the rubber meets the road and we hold firm to our convictions and we preach the gospel without hesitation, some people are just going to oppose us. And they might even seek our harm. But this shouldn't surprise us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Paul says, don't be frightened by them. What can they do to you? They're merely men. Like, the worst they can do is kill you. Then he says something interesting. Verse 28, the end of verse 28 says, "This is a clear sign to them for their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God." All right, so this persecution that the opposers are bringing about is a sign of their destruction. There's a sign of destruction for the persecutor, but there's a sign of salvation for the one being persecuted. Why? I mean, wouldn't it stand to reason that if God Almighty is on my side, that I wouldn't have to be persecuted, but actually lay the smackdown on my opponents? I mean, he is all-powerful, right? Well, he continues in the next verse and describes why being persecuted is a sign of really being saved. Look at verse 29. "For it has been granted," all right, think about that word, "it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." Something has been granted to us, all right? Something has been given to us, and it's really two things, believing and suffering. The teaching here is that both faith and suffering are gifts of God. And how do we know this? Well, he says that they have both been granted to you by God. He says it in the very verse there. Now, let's be honest. One of these is clearly a great gift that we embrace with gladness. So, God, you're giving me the gift of faith that leads to eternal life with you in heaven, where all the people who are swept into the family of God will live forever in perfect, glorified bodies, never to experience sickness, pain, and death, but only to experience sheer joy. Right on, where do I sign up? Right? That's a good gift. We want to embrace that. We say thank you for that gift. But then he mentions a second item on the list, suffering. And you're telling me that he's calling suffering a gift? Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. And here's why. Suffering is our opportunity to scream to the world that Christ is worthy of worship and praise. John Piper says this in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad. We measure the worth of a hidden treasure by what we will gladly sell to buy it. If we sell all, then we measure the worth as supreme. If we will not, what we have, what we're holding on to, is treasured more. Jesus says, Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The extent of his sacrifice and the depth of his joy display the worth he puts on the treasure of God. So loss and suffering, joyfully accepted for the kingdom of God, show the supremacy of God's worth clearly in the world. So suffering is a gift, because it is an opportunity to scream to the world that Christ is better than anything else in the world. Suffering is an opportunity to do that which a Christian really desires, to make much of Christ in all the earth. I wonder if we've so domesticated Scripture to what we like to hear that we've completely forgotten that God has granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake. Now, if there's anything we can see as we close chapter 1 of Philippians, it's this. The advancement of the gospel is not disconnected from pain. All right, but lest we misrepresent the testimony of Paul along with thousands and thousands who have gone before us, we've got to see this, that though the pain is real, there is an abundance of joy that cannot be described. May we taste this joy, joy in the presence of Christ, as we willingly embrace not only the gift of faith, but also suffering. And in so doing, show the supremacy of Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily.